This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. As per usual, if you would like my website address or my mailing address, I'll give them to you at the close of the program. The website might be of some help to you. This program is on the website and can be re-listened to there. It can be downloaded from there. And in addition, you can leave me prayer requests or comments either through the website or by regular mail, and I would be happy to receive those and have correspondence with you. Now today we're going to continue our journey through Luke chapter 22. We've been looking at the way the Lord was treated just before his crucifixion. We're looking at his trials. And when we come to Luke 22, we have to wonder if we had been there, what crowd we would have been in, what group we would have been in, how would we have treated the Lord. We've looked at how Judas treated the Lord and how he betrayed him because he wanted to use the Lord for personal gain. And we've looked at Peter, how he loved the Lord, and yet he denied the Lord in a moment of weakness, just as the Lord predicted that he would. And as we go on through the story, we'll see a thief on the cross who in the 11th hour is saved because of what the Lord has done. And then we see these people who are going to prove that they are in control. They're the scribes and the Pharisees. And we're going to see them and their attitude toward the Lord. And we're going to see the crowd and how easy it is for us to develop a crowd mentality and stir up the crowd to do what we want them to do, and these scribes and Pharisees seem to know how to do that. And there were others who were looking on as well. I believe that Mary Magdalene was looking on and others were looking on. I don't believe Mary of Bethany was there. I think she had anointed the Lord and had understood that this was going to happen, and perhaps it was too painful for her to be there, because we don't read about Mary of Bethany being at the cross. We just read about her anointing him for his burial in that home in Bethany before these things occurred. But these people all looked on, and there were some who loved him and some who didn't. And as we look down through this story of betrayal, this story of bullying, this story where the Lord is allowing himself to be treated so despicably, so cruelly. When we look at this story, we have to understand that this represents the love of God. He had to love his son, and it had to hurt him to see how these people were being treated. And yet he looked at the hearts of those who were even weak and failing at this time. And he, I believe, loves everyone who truly appreciates and loves his son. And so we kind of keep that in mind and ask ourselves as we look at the rest of this story, where would I have been if I had been there at that time? Would I have been part of the crowd? Would I have stayed aloof and just watched, knowing that I couldn't do anything about it? But would I have appreciated what the Lord was doing? Where would I have been at that time? Now we're going to read from Luke chapter 22. We're going to read verses 63 through 70. Verse 63 says, "Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, 'Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?' And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, 'You are the Christ? If you are the Christ, tell us.' But he said to them, 'If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God.' Then they all said, 'Are you then the Son of God?' And he said to them, 'You rightly say that I am.'" And he's really saying, "Yes, you've answered rightly." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, I want to read in connection with this as well a psalm that would have been written at least 1,000 years before this took place. Psalm 22, written by David, who says in verse 6, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord. that he would deliver him? Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. And I particularly want you to notice verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Now, as we look at these passages, we have to ask ourselves then, what do these passages mean to us? What are we going to learn from these passages? And I think one of the things that we learn from these passages is that bullying is not something that's new. And it seems to me that there's an awfully lot of people that try to go through life manipulating others by intimidating them and by bullying them. The Lord was not one of them. The Lord had every right to destroy those people who were trying to destroy him. We read that he could have called 12 legions of angels if he had wanted to. And yet he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then in Philippians 2, where I'm quoting, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, my friend, these people, they bullied him. But the day is going to come when they're going to bow before him. The Lord in his mercy allowed the Lord to become the sacrifice that takes away the sin of the world. He's the fulfillment of that Passover lamb. And that's why he ate the Passover supper. And that's why before this Passover feast is done, he has died on a cross and become the fulfillment of the picture of what took place in Egypt so many years ago, when the children of Israel were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, which represents the bondage of this world and the sin associated with it and the gods associated with it. They were delivered from that bondage by a Passover lamb that was slain and whose blood was applied to the doorposts and lintels of their homes. And that Passover lamb represented the sacrifice that saved those who had faith in it by putting the blood on the doorposts and lintels of their homes. And we now, because of this bullying that took place on the part of the Jews, have a sacrifice that saves us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, when we come back to Psalm 22, David wrote that psalm. And there are some things in the psalm that we didn't read that do not ever seem to apply to David. For example, in the psalm, we would find out it says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." We don't know that David's hands and feet were ever pierced. There's no record left of that. I can't say that it didn't happen, but he never died on a cross. They didn't crucify at that time. And yet it is foretold that they would pierce his hands and his feet. That had to be messianic. That had to be a prophecy that should convince us of the truth of Scripture, that God had a plan, and the Lord Jesus was willing to fit into that plan, which is why in the garden he says, "Not my will, but thine be done." It's not my plan, but it's a plan of God made in an eternity past to redeem those who have been deceived by Satan. The sin of the Garden of Eden did not catch God by surprise. He had a plan in place to become to allow those who were deceived to be saved. And the cross is really the place of defeat for Satan, and it's a place of victory for the Lord because he is raised from the dead. But you can see that these people, they thought they were in control, and they were the strong bulls of Bashan. And they mocked him, and I just marveled at the fact that John 1 tells us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when we come down through that passage, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But if we go on down further in John chapter 1, we see John the Baptist pointing him out on the banks of the Jordan River and saying, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so the one who was eternal, the one who is the message of God, the one who is the messenger of God, the one who created us. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The creator, he becomes the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And these people in their pride think that they are going to get by with what they're doing and that there are going to be no consequences associated with it. But there are consequences associated with rejecting the Lord. And for us, those consequences are eternal condemnation. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what we really see in this passage is the age-old question, which we've asked time and time again as we've gone through this passage: what will I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And while we can look at that question from the standpoint of those people that were at the cross, we really need to look at that question from the standpoint of those of us listening to the program today. Have we received him and believed on him? Have we trusted him? Do we believe that he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, who is going to sit on the right hand of power? The one who, while he's crucified, is raised from the dead and ultimately ascends into heaven. And we know he said, if I go away, I will come again. And so he's coming again. And Revelation makes it clear that the end of the story has not been fulfilled yet. The end of the story has to do with the victory of the Lord as he judges those nations that have rejected him, both dead and alive. And folks, you can't do this to the Lord. You can't mock him. You can't bully him. You can't reject him and end up with no consequences. And just remember that. That's what we see as we look at this passage. The Lord is at the right hand of power. Stephen saw him standing. Hebrews says he sits there, but he is there, and he's coming again. And folks, we're not done with the Lord Jesus. And for those of us who are saved, he's coming as our Savior. For those who have rejected him, he's coming as their judge. And so don't be amongst those who mock him, who bully him, who reject him and think that you can get by with it and that there are no consequences associated with that. Those of us who believe in him, we love him. And we love him because he first loved us. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon the program. We thank thee for thy love, for thy salvation, for thy word, for the promise of the Lord's soon return. We ask for thy blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.